Dr. Banner, now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret, Captain. I'm always angry.
Where did you get that hat? Folks ask me every day. Isn't it a nifty one? I've often heard them say. Keep it on, it's funny, can't you see the people smile? It keeps me busy telling them the history of this tile. Where did you get that hat? Where did you get that hat? It's the hat me dear old father wore upon St. Patrick's Day. Talk about respect with this head erect as he marched along Broadway. Not a man in line looked half so fine, me dear old mother used to say. As your father did with that old-time lid upon St. Patrick's Day.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yes, we hope you like us when we're angry. I'm Dean Karyanis.
And I'm Owen Mugen.
And welcome back to the Angry History Show. That's Billy Murray off the top there, not to be confused with comedy legend Bill Murray. He's singing 1918's The Hat My Father Wore. And that sets the stage for today's episode, where we step through the Guardian of Forever and into this time of year, September, at the end of summer 1922.
I would love to be able to step in through the Guardian of Forever. Oh, man, like a million different reasons. But Vanishing New York's Jeremiah Moss makes a year-end memorial to all the lost landmark bars and institutions in the city. And he calculated that during Mayor Michael Bloomberg's 12 years in office alone, the Big Apple lost 6,826 years of history. But buildings aren't the only things that change. So does fashion.
Yeah, one fashion was hats, and it was the unlikely source of New York City's strangest bit of civil unrest, known as the Straw Hat Riots. We're talking boater hats, like the ones you see in barbershop quartets or on Bugs Bunny's head poking through his ears, as he would always wear a hat, in episodes like A Hair Grows in Manhattan, where Bugs flashes back to his jazz-age childhood.
She's the daughter of Rosie O'Grady, a regular old-fashioned girl. She isn't crazy for diamond rings, silkins and satins and fancy things. She's just a sweet little lady, and when you meet her, you'll see why I'm glad I called it the daughter of Rosie O'Grady.
It's funny, I actually hadn't heard that song from Bugs in a long time. It's actually awesome to hear it again. It's so weird to think about this, too, with the hats. You know, an unwritten rule stated that gentlemen should switch from straw to felt hats on September 15th. And if you got to comply, leave it to the city's teenagers to remind you. They'd remind you by knocking the hat off your head and smashing it. And no one knows how the date was set, although it had apparently been earlier in decades past. It was sort of like, you know, not wearing light white pants or linen after Labor Day. And that is still a rule. It's funny, living in L.A. for the past number of years, as I have, you see people break that rule all the time. And I used to get on my hind legs and say, no, but you... And it's like, oh, it's always summer out there and who cares?
Yeah, it's a strange thing, and it's one of those where there's this sort of give and take between people, where if your hat was knocked off your head and smashed, you would say, oh, well, hey, that's my fault, because you know, why was I wearing it? I forgot the rule. And everyone just knew the risk of being assaulted, basically, for wearing a hat after September 15th. Newspapers warned you the date was coming, sort of like how they tell everyone about daylight savings time today. Spring forward, fall back, get your hat smashed. And it was... unlike, say, the Civil War draft riots, which we've mentioned before, when they rocked the city, right. This madness was really just born out of a little bit of mischief and fun that went on in the city.
Yeah, right. Which is really the exact opposite of the
yes.
of the Irish draft riots.
It really is. But, you know, any opportunity to riot.
Exactly. Stay away from the 19th Ward. So keep in mind, though, that until the 1960s, gentlemen were required to wear a hat. Okay. Now, Time ran a pictorial titled, "You Forgot Something, Harry," when President Truman left his hat behind, chronicling sort of the three stages of grief he went through until he found it again. Like only a vagrant, a rube, or a boor would go hatless.
Suspect is hatless. Repeat, hatless.
And it's the same way New Yorkers single out tourists today. Sneakers with black socks. You're kind of marked, you know?
Yeah, and Truman, I mean, you think about that, obviously, then you're talking the mid-40s. So in the 20s, this was really right. Serious, but we'll link to that at angryhistory.com, this pictorial. It was significant when a president was seen without a hat. We have a couple things on that later. This was not just a joke here.
No. And when Truman had his hat off, you could actually see the small horns on his head. And that was that was really upset a lot of people. Maybe just upset me.
Speaking of presidents, while it was a myth that John F. Kennedy killed the hat business, it had already been declining for years. You can read about that in Neil Steinberg's book, Hatless Jack. JFK's election did mark a stark break from the past, a president born in this century, as he famously said. All the old ways were examined, and many, like hats, were cast away, speaking of fashion changing.
Yep. Ich bin was born in 1917. But in JFK's youth, hats, they were everywhere. And here's part of a great Abbott and Costello bit from 1944, is In Society, where the boys try to deliver a box of straw hats to Bagel Street. Now, this bit is sort of updated from an old vaudevillian sketch where it was Flugel Street. Give a listen.
I want you to deliver these hats to the Susquehanna Hat Company. They sent me straws instead of derbies.
Oh, sure, that's enough.
Will you do
that?
Hey, Eddie!
Sure.
Got... Why don't you wait for me? We're going up to Briarwood to spend a weekend, and this guy's tussie going without me.
Okay. Okay, Dan, we'll take care of it.
Thank you ever so much.
Okay, Dan.
How have you been? Good. Hey, keep an eye on the plumber shop while we're gone.
I'll be glad to.
Okay.
Hold those hats.
What are you doing with the hats?
You've got to deliver these to the Susquehanna Hat Shop.
Where?
It's on Bagel Street.
Where's Bagel Street?
I don't know. We'll ask somebody. It's on our way down there.
How much you say to you?
$7.50 apiece.
How do I look with a $7.50 hat on?
Let me see. Hey, kind of spiffy.
Okay.
All right, carry those, but don't get it dirty.
Let's go.
Be careful.
Bagel Street, hey.
Bagel Street.
We'll ask somebody.
We'll ask somebody. Now.
Excuse me, lady. Could you tell me where Bagel Street is?
Bagel Street? Ah! Oh, why did you have to remind me of Bagel Street? My husband was killed on Bagel Street, you hear? My husband was killed on Bagel Street.
I mean, but what after all? I mean, I don't understand. It's all I do. I want to go to the Susquehanna Hat Company.
The Susquehanna Hat Company? Ah! That's his plan of hats. That's the same kind of hat my husband was wearing when he was killed. I wouldn't have lost his life if he'd been wearing a good hat when that safe fell out of that 15-story building. But no, he was wearing a hat like this one. Oh, that's the cheapest, worst, greatest scorn I ever saw. Oh, my husband's dead. He's dead. He's dead.
He ain't dead, lady. He's hiding.
Now, listen, that guy...
Not one hat makes it to the Susquehanna Hat Company. Not one. You heard they were selling for $7.50 apiece. That's four times the price. $1.76 a straw hat would set you back at the time of the riot. Thanks to inflation from the Great Depression and World War II, which was still raging when this film was released.
And that was one of those bits that really stuck with you, at least for me, when we were kids, that Susquehanna hat bit. And for a while,
totally.
I was given a scholarship, actually. I didn't end up taking it to go to Susquehanna University. And when you're a kid, you start telling people, well, I might go to Susquehanna University, and every second person has to do the Susquehanna hat bit with you. This is an example.
Exactly.
That was still pretty huge in the 70s.
Yeah, if you were to do that now, every 300th person would maybe joke about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no one's left.
But at the time of the movie, I wonder if some people cringe seeing Lou Costello's straw hats getting smashed because they'd recall the trouble that started on September 13th, 1922. And that date, September 13th, you might notice it's two full days before this unofficial deadline. Nevertheless, this group of urchins get to use a lot of those old-timey phrases for things. They used to call them street arabs back in the Gilded Age in New York City. They just decided, hey, we're going to kick off the fun early. And so 2 days early, they gathered at Mulberry Bend, the heart of the infamous Five Points neighborhood, and they decided they'd start smashing hats. They waited outside a factory and started popping lids off men as they emerged from work.
Punk kids. It's sort of like, you know, I was going to say if you grew up in the city, but pretty much anywhere in our great nation, you know, July 2nd. Or maybe June 30th, depending where you are. That's when you start to hear the fireworks. Some people just can't wait for the actual date, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, these kids, there was some mayhem to be had, so they got started early. So, you know, factory workers are easy prey, but not so with the mob's next targets down on the waterfront. Okay, that's not too bright, kids. The longshoremen, as they want to do, fought back quite violently, and the brawl shut down the Manhattan Bridge. Cops finally broke up the scene and made arrests, but the fuse was lit. Men hit the streets all over town, deputized into the fashion police.
And again, it wasn't today, okay, somebody knocks your hat off. In this period, in the 20s, 30s, you're not fully dressed without a hat. I mean, you look like a loser. And so, you know, you're going to fight to hold onto your hat. It's your property. And haberdashers stayed open so you could replace your hat. You come running in there almost as if you've lost your pants. And you say, gosh, I need a hat. I need a hat, mister. And I guess today it's
hat. Hey, give me a hat right away, mister.
On the double, chappy.
That's right. Hurry up. There are kids out there taking the hats off grown men. Quickly, get me another hat, Charlie.
I need a hat, Johnny? So I can ride my giant front wheel bicycle home.
Right. Yeah, exactly. What the hell are those things called again? Believe it or not. Well, believe it. I was having a conversation with someone the other night about those bikes, and I was a few beers in. I forget what the hell are they called again? Oh, well, someone will correct us, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, they were a little outdated. By this point, we did have the two regular wheel bikes, so I guess we're just having some fun with anachronisms there, as we want to do.
We are.
Speaking of which, I think it was something like, I was trying to relate to it, how you'd feel without a hat, and I thought probably the closest thing will be without your smartphone. If you go out nowadays without that phone, you feel really lost, and you're you're not connected. And not of comparable value, though. That $176 price for a hat in 1922, that's less than $25 today. So hats kind of kept pace with inflation, I guess you might say.
Absolutely. Now, so the riots just didn't stop. It wasn't one of these little, quickie things and it was over. They spread, okay? On the 13th, and by the 14th, the New York Times told the story. Here, give a listen.
Straw hat riots embroil East Side. Courts and police give warning of jail after thousands of sky pieces are smashed. 7 wreckers are convicted. Man has a right to wear a straw hat in a snowstorm, rules magistrate Haddock. The inalienable right of a man to wear a straw hat in a snowstorm, if he desires, is to be upheld in this city by both police and the magistrates, and a warning was sent broadcast to all straw hat smashers last night that jail terms on assault charges awaited them if they started any such carnival today. On the theory that September 15 is the last day of the straw hat season, and that they had the right to declare open season on straw hats on other persons' heads, scores of rowdies on the East Side and in other parts of the city started smashing hats last evening. There was danger of riots in 3 congested spots on the East Side. Police reserves were called out. Straw hat bonfires were started, and 7 men were convicted of disorderly conduct in the men's night court. In imposing fines of $5 each on the 7 men who were brought before him for the part they had taken in a hat-smashing Saturnalia at Bowery and East Houston Street, Magistrate Peter A. Hadding said that the next men to come before him for breaking other persons' hats would go to jail. It is against the law to smash a man's hat, and he has a right to wear it in a January snowstorm if he wishes, declared Magistrate Hadding. To hit a man's hat is a simple assault, and in this court it will be treated as such. And I want you to spread this word among all who would smash hats. A man's hat is just as much his property and just as much to be defended as his watch, and this courts are going to defend the laws. In the first inspection district, which covers the Lower East Side, Inspector William A. Coleman told the patrolmen in all his stations to use a rigorous hand with all hat smashers and to arrest rowdies wholesale if they made trouble. The New York Times, September 14, 1922.
Now, great is that judge's name, Hadding. Yes, and he rose to be a state Supreme Court justice, too, for that matter.
Yeah, surprised he never ran for office because he could have, say, threw his hat in the ring.
Ah.
All kinds of great
jokes. If I don't keep this promise, I'll eat my hat. <All that.
laughs> Despite Judge Hadding's warning, though, as you all know, when you were teenagers, they didn't listen to the authority figure, strikingly. And
damn
the riots
kids.
Continued into that second day. And the hat haters expanded their rage to hats of all kind. Because, why just focus on the straw hats? This is such a blast. And by then, you figure people probably were stopping wearing them just because they didn't want to get accosted on the way to work. You whip out your winter felt hat a little early. I mean, it must have been so confusing because it was early. Here are some excerpts from New York Times story. This report is the 16th, day 3 of these riots in the city, when Judge Hadding follows through on that threat of his to start throwing the hat smashes in the pokey.
City has wild night of straw hat riots. Gangs of young hoodlums with spike sticks terrorize whole blocks. Victims run the gauntlet. Youths line car tracks and snatch. Mobs of 1,000 dispersed on Amsterdam Avenue. Gangs of young hoodlums ran riot in various parts of the city last night, smashing unseasonable straw hats and trampling them in the street. In some cases, mobs of hundreds of boys and young men terrorized whole blocks. Complaints poured in upon the police from men whose hats were stolen and destroyed. But as soon as the police broke up the gangs in one district, the hoodlums resumed their activities elsewhere. A favorite practice of the gangsters was to arm themselves with sticks, some with nails at the tip, and compel men wearing straw hats to run a gauntlet. Sometimes the hoodlums would hide in doorways and dash out, 10 or 12 strong, to attack one or two men. Along Christopher Street, on the Lower West Side, the attackers lined up along the surface car tracks and yanked straw hats off the heads of passengers as the cars passed. The street where such incidents occurred were strewn with broken straw hats. Hat stores, which kept open last night, were crowded with purchasers of tall hats. The complaint was made of a gang swarming on an open streetcar and attacking the passengers to get their hats. A man who said he was E.C. Jones, a promoter of 70 West 93rd Street, telephoned to the Times that this happened when he was riding uptown on an Amsterdam Avenue car between 135th and 136th Street about 9 o'clock last night. He said the car was attacked by a group of boys who later disappeared in a mob of about 1,000 who were destroying straw hats along Amsterdam Avenue. Jones said he complained at the West 152nd Street station and the mob was dispersed. The police were kept busy trying to protect people on 3rd, Lexington, and Park Avenues between 102nd and 125th Streets. Even plainclothes policemen complained in this district. Policemen King and Lamore of Inspector Sweeney's staff were walking down 3rd Avenue when 10 or 12 boys armed with sticks dashed out of the doorway near 109th Street. The officers caught 8 of the youngsters and took them to the East 104th Street station. As they were all under 15 years of age, they were not arrested. Lieutenant Linehan lectured them and sent for their parents, recommending a good spanking for their offspring. He also warned that they would be brought in again for the same offense, they would be locked up. Acting Detective Sergeant Brindisi was attacked by a gang at 102nd Street on 3rd Avenue and his hat thrown into the street. He ran after his tormentors, was tripped, and fell headlong into the gutter. He arrested Leo Cohen, 34, who gave his address at 71 West 50th Street as the tripper. Cohen was taken to the East 104th Street station on a charge of disorderly conduct. Harry Gerber, 25, of 69 East 115th Street, went to Harlem Hospital for treatment for injuries received in fighting off straw hat vandals at 115th Street and Park Avenue. When a crowd of boys tried to seize his hat, he put up a fight and was badly beaten and kicked. Harry Oldbaum of 325 East 103rd Street was surrounded by a crowd at 116th Street and Lexington Avenue. His hat was torn off. Unlike most of the civilians subjected to the same annoyance, he showed fight and chased the youths. He caught a boy who said he was Morris Sykowitz, 16, of 224 East 170th Street, and took him to the East 104th Street station. Morris was charged with disorderly conduct. A. Silverman was sentenced to 3 days in jail by Magistrate Peter A. Hadding in the night court. On Thursday, Magistrate Hadding had given warning that he would impose jail sentences upon anyone brought before him on the charge of smashing straw hats. Abraham Birnbaum of 522 Livonia Street, Brooklyn, appeared in court as the complainant against Silverman. Just before he sent Silverman to jail, Magistrate Hadding discharged Sykowitz, the youth arrested at 116th Street and Lexington Avenue. The magistrate was about to send Sykowitz to jail despite the intercedence of Oldbaum, the complainant, when the sight of the prisoner's gray-haired mother, 70 years old, caused him to relent for her sake. "But I'll send the next one to jail," said the magistrate. "I intend to see that citizens are protected in their property." Silverman was the next one. Cohen, the man arrested for interfering with Detective Brindisi, denied he had tripped the officer and was discharged by Magistrate Hadding. He said he was a special officer employed by one of the child's restaurants. John Sweeney, 10, of 363 West 16th Street, ran into an automobile driven by John Monfort on 411 East 19th Street, while John and other boys were enjoying the hat-smashing sport on 7th Avenue between 17th and 18th Streets. His right leg was broken. He was taken to Bellevue Hospital for treatment. Patrolman James Sheehan of the Oak Street Station arrested two boys whom he saw smashing a straw hat at 1st Avenue and 7th Street. The boys said they were Walter Shulka, 13, of 702 East 7th Street, and Abraham Silverman, 12, of 94 East 7th Street. They will be arraigned in the Children's Court today on the charge of juvenile delinquency. An hour later, Patrolman Sheehan arrested Abraham Moses, 15, of 316 East 19th Street at 10th Street and Avenue A on the same charge. At Madison and Thompson Street, a boy knocked off a man's hat with a long stick. Then other boys kicked the hat along the street until it reached another boy waiting to jump on it. The owner of this hat seized Salvatore Camilio, 15, of 13 Hamilton Street, who was taken to the Oak Street station on the charge of juvenile delinquency. Patrolman Villahanty of the Clinton Street station arrested Louis Silverman, 17, of 218 Madison Street, on the charge of breaking a man's hat in front of 197 East Broadway. The New York Times, September 16, 1922.
I always have this temptation, especially when I'm out in Los Angeles, and the neighborhood in which I live out there is Los Feliz, and it's a nice place, got a bit of a hipster problem, but it's like you see these kids in their like winter hats, and it's like, it's 97 degrees outside. What is wrong with you? You know? Oh, I get it. It's a look. Anyway, Abraham Silverman, the 12-year-old hat smasher arraigned in children's court, and his partner in crime nailed their victim's hat right on the corner of Tompkins Square Park. And this is a neighborhood we visited often, most notably in the Slocum disaster episode, and we visited often during our frequent McSorley's disaster evenings or late afternoons.
Yeah, I think it's nice bracket there to the Slocum disaster, of course, which is, what, 15 years before this? And you know, you see kids back, because, of course, that was a disaster that, that took the lives of so many children there in the neighborhood. So kids are back, and they're having fun, and they're chasing people into the street, as they did with poor John Sweeney. They chased him into traffic, and he broke a leg. So, I mean, it's starting to get serious here by day three.
It is.
An AP story on the 16th reported, quote, "One police sergeant tripped and fell into a gutter while chasing boys who had battered his hat," unquote. A New York Times, it's fun, right?
It is fun.
A New York Tribune, not Times, headline blared, "Straw hat smashing orgy bears heads from Battery to the Bronx," unquote. The city was consumed, rather. I'm sure they were confused, too.
They were. I'm wondering, too, okay, so it's September. Was it coming out of a hot summer? Was there other stuff going on? I mean, was the city on edge, I wonder, for any other reasons besides just this straw hat smashing orgy, which if I was in high school, that would be my new band name. I love it. Anyway, after 3 days, the cops got a handle on things. Or maybe the kids just got bored and it was time to stand by the Flatiron Building and yell 23 Skidoo again. There were no fatalities, but 2 years later, a guy was murdered for wearing a straw hat. Yet the rule survived. It's a good year.
Yeah, by 1925, 3 years after the riot, the rule was still so strict that the president, President Coolidge at this time, made the front page of the New York Times for violating it. This was a great example here. Still to this day, presidents and first ladies, they set fashion trends, right?
Sure.
Dateline Washington, quote, "President Coolidge plainly intends to ignore the unwritten rule banning the wearing of straw hats after September 15th. There would be a big musical sting there if this was a news report.
I'm glad you're doing this, and I'm glad you insist on doing this in that voice.
I can't help it. It's how it sounds in my head.
Exactly.
"Yesterday, which was close to hot, he wore his straw hat on a late afternoon stroll, and today he again appeared in the taboo headgear. He went along business thoroughfares accompanied by a secret serviceman, and few recognized him as he passed along."
Oh, man. Press must have been just a little starved for scandal after all, you know, that the juicy President Harding stuff. If they turned to Hatgate or, ooh, Straw Hat Dome, very nice. To use a contemporary White House scandal thing. But then, you know, people simply love their straw hats. People like Desi Arnaz.
"Whenever old man trouble makes trouble arise, he's pulled that big straw hat over your eyes. You'll never see the circumstance making you frown if you'll just push your eyes under the crown. Life can be a simple thing to laugh and sing. Get yourself a hat of straw and put it on. Don't take it off. Troubles will come to an end because you simply will not see them, my friend, to visualize permanent sun in the skies. Just pull that big straw hat over your eyes."
It's so funny. Well, funny. I mean, you talk about just the sort of how kids sort of led this whole thing until it spread. You have these things now. And it's hard to pin whether or not they're true, but the things like the knockout game, which is something, you know, some poor schmuck's walking down the street and then, you know, some young a-hole goes over and punches him or her in the face just for no good reason other than to brutalize somebody on the street. And it's hilarious, except it's absolutely not. Whether or not that's true, you know, what else is there, Dean? There's wilding, right? That was like, you know, oh my gosh, the kids are, you know, running into every store en masse. And, you know, that happened a few times during the Dinkins administration, but like, I don't ever think it was a thing. I mean, that's going to kind of go into myth and legend before too long.
Yeah, I think a lot of these things are as much about how the media reports them and hypes them as they are about actual things that happen. And you mentioned about what was the cause of this here. It really, in all the reading that I did, it just seemed spontaneous. I mean, some kid had this idea and it starts and it spreads and there had to be some things that are swimming in to get this all right. And then the next year you figure people must have been a little bit concerned, but it was just this one off, really one of the craziest days in a crazy city in New York City where they just decided to today, I guess another thing that they like to call them is flash mob and one of those kind of things. And you know, you can single out somebody for being the other for lots of reasons. But we see it, unfortunately, you go to a lot of games in certain cities in the U.S. wearing the opposing jersey and you're in trouble, or the opposing hat. Somebody just, you know, nails you for what you wear or who you are or what your gender is or your race, or, you know, because you have a straw hat and they decide it should be the 13th instead of the 15th. I mean, this is just sometimes people just get that going. And unless you have somebody there to sort of say, well, what's the point of doing that? You know, why don't we, I guess, 1922, what are you going to do? Not like you're going to go play Xbox or, yeah, like this is all right. You had to do.
You'll just go play with a box.
Yeah. Come on, let's go push a hoop down the street with a stick. No way.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Come on, let's play kick the can. Yeah. You know, actually, it's so funny. You probably still play kick the can when you were growing up, right? We certainly did.
Yeah, I still play it now.
We played all those. Yeah, exactly. Kick the can from the fridge into my hand into a glass, and then it's empty. Actually, that could be interesting. I wonder how many of those games, like, those kids were playing back then. Like, you know, like the games we still played growing up in East Flatbush in Brooklyn in the mid-70s into the late 70s, games like Buck Buck and I was going to say Cocolivio, was that it? I'm sure I'll be corrected. But, there's a show buried in there.
Yeah, there was one in the Gilded Age, like, that they would play those kind of games. There was a lot of those, and I'm sure that they were still playing them in those times. And they would run in and steal the free lunch, which we also talked about in the Slocum episode. You know, a lot of things was just kids acting out like that in those days. And so I'm sure until this got so out of hand, it probably seemed harmless. Let's start the fun a couple of days early, until you started chasing people into streets and things like that. And I mean, you heard they're running a gauntlet. We're going to knock this we're going to knock the hat off, Billy. Okay, let's go do it. And then another guy comes up and says, hey, look, I drove a nail through this plank. Let's use this. And again, nobody thought
this.
That's kind of a weird escalation of the things, you know?
Exactly. It doesn't take much. Nowadays, of course, you know, you look at somebody's hat on the train and, you know, you could get shot or punched or, you know, walk right into the middle of a knockout game.
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's nice to remember, too, that, you know, you look at things like this, the Straw Hat Riot, which is, again, a light thing compared to unrest in the city. But it's like people still got on their haunches about stuff, you know? This is you gotta look at where we were coming from, 1922, and yeah, sure, the war was over, was long gone at that point, but the city was not the same town it was before that war. And, you know, you had these kids who were the, you know, sometimes the children of vets, and who knows how these things play a part. Maybe I'm just overthinking it, but I'm still trying to think how the hell this erupted into an actual riot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, just somebody had that idea, especially when it was early. It's one thing if it was the day of, but it was just these kids decided they didn't want to wait. They could literally not wait until this almost Christmas day-like time when they would get
And then
how creative they were. You know, okay, we're going to line the side of the street. Everybody have a bat or a plank, and we'll make the guys wearing straw hats run the gauntlet. Hey, that sounds like a lot of fun.
That's a great idea.
Let's do that.
That's true. Actually, you know what? Yeah, that is a foolproof recipe for escalation.
Yeah.
Anytime you set up a gauntlet of any kind.
I just love it, how their second targets, they decide, let's go down to the waterfront, Billy, and knock their hats off.
Yeah,
it's like, why would you be going down to the waterfront anyway? Like, you'd stay away from those guys, right? Like, then you're going to go down there, and they're just waiting to punch somebody. They're always drunk and surly.
Like 30, what is it, probably 33 years later when On the Waterfront comes out and one of these young Billies has now got kids of his own. And, hey, Dad, let's go see this movie about life on the waterfront. No, I don't want to go see that movie.
My leg still hurts when it rains. Name. No.
Yeah, my leg. Exactly. I was forced to become a righty, you know. They hurt my hand.
I'm going to spank your kids. A lot of talking about, you know, people spanking kids right now. And it's like, gosh, I'm pretty sure those longshoremen weren't thinking anything other than, you know, looking at these as adults. I mean, these are older kids. They're not little kids. It's just, you know, it's teenagers, late teens. I mean, some of them are bigger than adults if they're going after factory workers, right?
Right. Okay, I'm thinking of these guys, although it's like early. I'm thinking of like Bowery Boys. Not the other Bowery Boys who we love. Hey. But I'm thinking of like, you know, Satch and you know, just like these mischievous sort of almost, you know, Hollywood versions of street toughs. But it's like, no, these were real just punk kids.
Very much.
I'm just sitting here. Like, you know what's funny? And I see the appeal. Like, you know, we've all been to, you know, fairs or whatever. Or, you know, sometimes you'll have straw hats at some sort of, you know, the Great Irish Fair, I think they used to have them. But you know what? Nothing really breaks like a straw hat. It really breaks nicely. So I can kind of see, you know, why you might want to get into doing that.
That's true. I mean, that's why it was such a staple of comedy in the 40s, 50s, 60s, the Bugs Bunny, the know, Honeymooners era, the Abbott and Costello, all those guys, Laurel and Hardy. I mean, you punch it, and it's very satisfying that it breaks the way it does.
Didn't Ralph, like, whatever society he was in, I remember, a picture of Ralph or image in my head of Ralph from the Honeymooners wearing a straw hat. I'm trying to remember what the hell that could have been.
Yeah, I feel like he came in. He did. It might have been when he fell on the roller skates. Remember that great episode where he's roller skating? Yeah. I mean, he was so light on his feet for a big man that it really defied all logic. And when he's doing that roller skating, it's so stressful watching him with that tray and everything. It's somebody in the audience actually yells out, "Careful now." It's like, way to ruin the take, lady, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah, exactly. No, you don't break the fourth wall. Let Gleason break the fourth wall, clown.
Yeah.
And then Mrs. Manicotti had to go home early that day. It was just everything went wrong.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Mrs. Manicotti.
Well, one thing before we wrap up, we should thank our pal, author Don Winston. He's the one who did those reads for us there from the 20s. His new thriller, The Gristmill Playhouse, is going to be out in November. It takes place in New Hope, Pennsylvania. You can pick it up or check out his previous books, Union Club and Suwannee, on Amazon, or look at donwinston.com. We're going to get him on for an interview one of these days, but we figured we'd have him do these reads right now because he has a fantastic voice.
Yeah, and Don has always been a longtime supporter of the show and just a great pal on top of that. And so thanks again for doing that, Don.
Yeah, he's listening right now.
He is. I feel him watching me. He's laying in wait. He's going to take the straw hat off my head and smash it. That's what he does.
Yeah, well, why not? I'm going to go look for somebody wearing a straw hat. It may take me a while, but maybe Woodrow Wilson the Fifth will be out there and I can just knock it off his head.
That's a great idea. Hi, I'm Dean Carianis. Yeah, I know. We've got a law named after you in our house. So please get out of here. Well, this was great. This is a fun one, man. This is, the only people who got hurt in this one, were people who died almost 100 years ago. So this is, no one got hurt. This is great. This is a fun
one. Yeah, no hats are actually injured in the making of this podcast.
No, actually, I sat on one just before I sat down. I've got my straw hat cosplay convention coming up.
Method.
And yeah, exactly. Which reminds me, I'm going to need some sarsaparilla soda. Well, we're about to wrap this up, and this was a fun one to do. And hey, obviously, you may have noticed we were gone for a few weeks. We did. We took summer vacation. Yeah, we didn't check with you guys first, but we did it anyway. So we had fun. I'm feeling pretty good, feeling pretty rested and relaxed. How about you, Dean?
I'm feeling good. I'm looking forward to ramping this up now. I think we've got audio. We've got great topics, great guests lined up, and we'll really start hitting this in a regular flow. We've got a great studio lined up. We're going to start doing more podcasts together, which are nice. And so thanks again, everyone, for listening.
Yep, thanks again. Hey, listen, I'm Owen Mugen.
I'm Dean Carianis.
And we will see you guys very soon. Thanks again. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye. Enjoy Desi Arnaz. Babaloo.
Whenever old man trouble makes trouble arise, he's pulled that big straw hat over your eyes. You'll never see the circumstance making you frown if you'll just push your eyes under the crown. Life can be a simple thing to laugh and sing. Get yourself a hat of straw and put it on. Don't take it off. And pretty soon your troubles will come to an end, because you simply will not see them, my friend, to visualize permanent sun in the skies. Yes, pull that big straw hat over your eyes.
Visit angryhistory.com to learn more about the topics discussed on today's episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or stream it through one of iHeartRadio's many mobile platforms, including their smartphone apps, Roku, or car stereo station. You can also like us on Facebook, tweet us at Angry History, or send an email to angry@angryhistory.com. We'd love to hear your feedback.
To laugh and sing. Get yourself a hat of straw and put it on. Don't take it off. And pretty soon your troubles will come to an end, because you will not see or hear it, my friend, to visualize permanent sun in the skies. Just pull that big straw hat over your eyes. take it up. And pretty soon your troubles will come to an end, because you will not see or hear my friend to visualize permanent sun in the skies. Yes, put that big straw hat down, big straw hat down over your eyes.
Suspect is hatless. Repeat, hatless.